From the studios of KXCI Community Radio in Tucson, Arizona, I'm King David McKenzie with the truth. Here's some of how the world is treating itself today. The following is not my text. It's an editorial from today's Beaver County Times in Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania. You football fanatics will recognize that town as being Joe Namath's birthplace, and I mentioned that in order for me to get past the trivia for these purposes. The piece is an editorial they've given the title Terrorists Within. Pittsburgh police officers Paul Ciullo II, Stephen Mayo, and Eric Kelly were not killed in the line of duty. They were assassinated. When Ciullo and Mayo responded to a domestic complaint at the Stanton Heights home of Margaret Poplowski, they did not know Paul Poplowski, a 23-year-old juiced up on far-right conspiracy theories, was waiting to gun them down with an AK-47 assault rifle. When Kelly, who was off-duty and on his way home, showed up to back up Ciullo and Mayo, he didn't know that when he got to the scene he would be ambushed by a far-right zealot who feared his weapons would be confiscated by the Obama administration. From the details that are emerging about his life, Poplowski clearly was a troubled young man who had issues with authority and was attracted to violence and the hatred spewed by the far right. On Saturday morning, Paul Ciullo II, Stephen Mayo, and Eric Kelly encountered Paul Poplowski. Within minutes, they were dead, the victims of a cold-blooded political assassin. After a four-hour standoff, Poplowski was arrested. Although he had been shot, his body armor prevented him from being seriously wounded. We can debate gun control, and we can bemoan the economic, social, and family conditions that went into creating someone like Poplowski. But we also need to take a good hard look at the danger that the far right poses to our domestic tranquility. Except for brief outbreaks of left-wing violence, most recently in the late 1960s and early 1970s, political violence in the United States has been the almost exclusive domain of the right. The real threat to the American way of life is from the far right and its enablers, especially talk radio. They are the ones who don't understand the principles and ideals on which this nation was founded. They are the terrorists within. Ciullo, Mayo, and Kelly are the latest victims in the far right's war against America. The bodies of the three slain police officers will lie in state at the city-county building starting at 3 p.m. today. Pray for them, their families, their fellow police officers, and our nation. End of the quote. Perhaps related, Libyan head of state Muammar Gaddafi has called President Obama a flicker of hope in the middle of the imperialist darkness, and followed that statement with the fear that Mr. Obama may be assassinated. Gaddafi was speaking to an audience of university students. Insert. In Iowa, right-wing politicians are pushing for a constitutional convention to overturn the same-sex marriage rights created there last week. Iowa's Democratic Governor Chet Culver still has not weighed in on the idea, even though he is rather cool towards it, according to some sources. Iowa Senate Majority Leader Mike Gronstel, Democrat from Council Bluffs, put his foot down in debate yesterday afternoon with Senate Minority Leader Paul McKinley, Republican from Chariton, who accused Gronstel of pure obstruction after Gronstel said he had no intention of taking up a debate on amending the state's constitution. Said Gronstel, quote, "One of my daughters was in the workplace one day, and her particular workplace at that moment in time, there were a whole bunch of conservative older men, and those guys were talking about gay marriage. They were talking about discussions going on across the country, and my daughter Kate, after listening for about 20 minutes, said to them, "You guys don't understand. You've already lost. My generation doesn't care." I think I learned something from my daughter that day when she said that, and I've talked with other people about it, and that's what I see, Senator McKinley. I see a bunch of people that merely want to profess their love for each other, and I want state law to recognize that. Is that so wrong? I don't think that's so wrong. As a matter of fact, last Friday night, I hugged my wife. You know, I've been married for 37 years. I hugged my wife. I felt like our love was just a little more meaningful last Friday night because thousands of other Iowa citizens could hug each other and have the state recognize their love for each other. No, Senator McKinley, I will not co-sponsor a leadership bill with you. End of quote. 365gay.com says congressional Republicans are vowing that they will do all that they can to block the District of Columbia from recognizing same-sex marriages that have been performed in areas where they are legal. In a preliminary vote, the D.C. Council unanimously approved the bill. It needs to pass a final time next month, and then, like all D.C. laws, be reviewed by Congress. Former British Prime Minister Tony Blair, a recent convert to Roman Catholicism, said in an interview today that the Vatican is out of step with ordinary Catholics and the public over homosexuality. Blair claims average Catholics had more liberal views on homosexuality than church leaders and would not say condemning it was an important part of their faith. If you went to any Catholic church on any Sunday here and did a poll of the congregation, you'd be surprised at how liberal-minded people were, he told gay magazine Attitude. He said there was a huge generational difference in attitudes within the church on homosexuality, adding that he doubted most Catholics had entrenched views on such issues. Blair's comments came less than a year after Pope Benedict said that saving humanity from homosexual behavior was just as important as saving the rainforest from destruction. An Iranian-American freelance journalist detained in Iran has been charged with espionage, an Iranian news agency said today. Washington, likely to be disappointed by the move as it tries to reach out to Tehran, called for her speedy release. Roxana Saberi, a 31-year-old native of the United States and former reporter for the BBC and National Public Radio, was arrested in January for working in the Islamic Republic after her press credentials had expired. Under Iran's penal code, espionage can carry the death penalty. Last November, Iran executed an Iranian businessman convicted of spying on the military for Israel. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton has called for Saberi's release. The first Britons to be caught up in a spate of boss nappings in France were today released by their staff after being held captive overnight. Three British managers, including one woman and a French male colleague, were detained at the factory in Bellegarde in the foothills of the French Alps when negotiations over terms of the plant's closure broke down yesterday. Workers blocked the entrance to the site, run by Scapa Group, PLC, with a truck, said the company's European finance director, Ian Bushell. He described the hostage-taking as a non-aggressive action, adding that the unions had brought the four managers dinner. Bushell said, as of lunchtime today, the workers agreed to let them go to local government offices to have ongoing dialogue about the closure. Then they, the managers, will be able to drive away from the site. Those held were the human resources manager, the finance director, and the European operations director, who are all British, and the French general manager, he said. The Scapa plant, which employs 68 people, makes adhesive tape for the auto industry. Plans to close the plant were drafted in response to a faltering car market, which is suffering its worst crisis in decades. Nigerian police have confiscated 6.5 tons of marijuana from the home of a man who claims to be 114 years old. The National Drug Law Enforcement Agency, NDLEA, said it had found 254 sacks of cannabis at the home of Suleiman Adebayo in Ogun State, north of Lagos. Adebayo, who said he had been a farmer all of his life, told police he thought the sacks contained rice. There's been another E. coli scare, this time in central Canada. Ground beef sold at Manitoba Safeway stores a few weeks ago may be contaminated with E. coli, the Canadian Food Inspection Agency warns. No illnesses have been reported, but Safeway spokesman John Graham said a voluntary recall of the product is being done out of an abundance of caution. The meat in question is lean ground beef with a best before date of March the 19th. The meat was sold in packages of roughly 1 pound, with the first part of the UPC reading 201670. It was sold at Safeway stores throughout Manitoba and northwestern Ontario, as well as in Saskatchewan, from March 13 to March 19. Graham said all of those food stores received a shipment of the potentially tainted meat from Winnipeg-based distributor Vantage Foods. The potential contamination was identified through routine testing at Vantage. The CFIA advises anybody who has this meat in their freezer to avoid eating it. This is Tucson, Arizona, where the city is looking for a new city manager. Yesterday, the Tucson City Council voted 4-3 in an executive session to fire City Manager Mike Hine. Neither Hine or the council gave a reason for the firing, but Hine has, of course, been in the hot seat for months because of all the money spent on the Rio Nuevo downtown redevelopment project and the city's budget troubles. Obituaries overnight include that of Nancy Overton, a member of the popular 1950s vocal group The Cordettes and widow of Archie Blyer, the head of the Cordettes record label, Cadence. Overton was 83 when she died of cancer on Sunday. And Jack Wrangler, the star of seemingly countless gay and occasionally straight porn films of the 1970s, died of a lung ailment yesterday at the age of 62. He had quit the porn business in the early 80s to marry Margaret Whiting, the popular singer of the 40s and 50s. And one final item today, a 13-year-old Virginia boy apparently loaded his family's pickup truck with food, clothes, and his dog, hitched up a trailer with two horses in tow, and drove nearly 1,300 miles to Texas, according to police. The teen's parents found him safe on Friday. Police are not sure why the boy ran away on Wednesday from his Jetersville area home. He apparently was well-prepared, even bringing extra propane tanks along. Wyatt E. McLaughlin was found at about 2 o'clock Friday afternoon on a rodeo grounds near Weatherford, Texas, where he had performed several times before. His parents looked for him there on a hunch, according to Sergeant Tom Cunningham, a Virginia State Police spokesman. If you have any material that you'd like for me to include in the next few days, just email me at baronofarizona@gmail.com. That's baronofarizona@gmail.com. And please do indicate where you're listening to this program from. And, of course, if you don't like this news, you always have the option of making some news yourself. In Tucson, I'm King David McKenzie. Until tomorrow, have yourselves some peace and oranges.